Eddie Chavez. Ruben Nava. And Jesse Romero. Jesus 911.
Soul Patrol, Jesse Romero, retired Los Angeles cop, Catholic lay evangelist here on Jesus 911, where we speak the truth in charity. We've got an exciting show today, and I say that it's very relevant because in America, in case you didn't know, there's another invisible enemy, and it's called pornography. It's called the pornification of our culture. In fact, 110 million Americans, get that number, 110 million Americans have STDs at any given time. That's almost one out of three Americans. And guess what? There's about, it's about a $16 billion a year expense in direct medical costs to treat people for STDs. This reminds me of the great Jesuit. And boy, oh boy, do we need great Jesuits today. One of them was named Father John Hardin, Venerable John Hardin. He used to say that nothing blinds the intellect more than sexual moral sin. Catch that. Nothing blinds the intellect more than sexual moral sin. And I think God knew how powerful this tendency towards sexual sin would be, that he even gave us two commandments out of ten. To try to ensure the safety of the sacrament of marriage, of this faithful forever union exclusively of a man and a woman that would bring up children. He had to give two commandments to safeguard this. And there's in recent times, there's even been a lot of Hollywood actors that have been talking about the rampant sexual pornification and sexual abuse culture in Hollywood. Robert Redford recently gave an interview to Christine Amanpour about the way sexual harassment and sexual abuse is prevalent in Hollywood. Him and many other actors have recently come out and said so. Well, as a result of that, this gentleman I met 20 years ago, we've reconnected, named Steve Picorno. He just wrote a book. It's called Redeemed Vision. And this book deals with this problem. And I'll tell you why this is so important, because when you turn on the television, what do you see right now in many cities? Anarchy. Straight anarchy. And there's three signs of the diabolical in a culture, according to the great Archbishop Fulton Sheen. Venerable Fulton Sheen says that you know a city or a culture or a society has been taken over by the diabolical. Number one, he says, there's love of nudity. Number two, love of violence. And number three, love of division. The society's divided: race, culture, power, class warfare. We want to talk about one aspect of the diabolical, the way it's taken over the West. It seems like we have a death wish, and it's what I would call the pornification of our culture. And so, I'd like to welcome Steve Picorno. He's the founder of Free Coaching. He's written a book called Redeemed Vision. And I have a lot of questions to ask him. Steve, welcome to Jesus 911.
Amen, Jesse. It's an honor to be with you, and I agree with your sentiments that we are facing a crisis in culture right now.
Yeah. Steve's volume's a little bit low, Rich. His volume's a little bit low. Go ahead, Steve. Go ahead. Your volume was low.
We'll flesh this out as we discuss. But definitely, pornography is a major contributing factor even to the direct issues.
Steve, you sounded perfect right before we started the show, and now you're it's like you're muted or something. Rich, can you check what's? Let's try this again. Okay, Steve, go ahead and talk.
Steve, can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. Okay, I can hear you. Whatever you did.
There we go.
I can hear you now.
Welcome to technology. It's meant to be.
Got it. Okay. Steve, you've written a book. Well, first of all, you're born and raised Catholic. I take it. What brought you to this point where you're saying, you know what, man, I'm a Catholic man. I've got to get into this fight. I've got to start doing this coaching for men. you know, what impelled you to get involved in this? And you actually wrote a book called Redeemed Vision. What got you started? Something happened. Something triggered you for you to say, you know what? I'm getting off the couch. I'm getting into the battlefield. I got to help men out because this is destroying men. How did that happen?
Yeah, to make a long story short, I was hooked on pornography from the time I got into this, especially when hooked, I would say, by the time I was in high school, but exposed earlier than that. My father was out of the picture by the time I was five, for all intents and purposes, which was never really taught about what does it mean to be a man? How am I supposed to love women? How am I supposed to see them and treat them as daughters and daughters of God and as my beloved sisters? And so a lot of history in that. Long story short, I was hooked for over 12 years. I'd like to say 12 years a slave to this that I would say nearly destroyed me. For a period of about 2 years during that time, I went numb emotionally. And underneath all this was this anger, this rage. There was this guilt, this shame, and being trapped in that for a long time. By the mercy of God, being set free from that. And now I go forward and I help both men and women through what we call freedom coaching to help to break them of this, the power of this permanently.
So that's the name of your apostolate. The name of your apostolate is freedom coaching, right?
So it's Freedom Coaching, found at freedom-coaching.net. That's right.
Okay. That's how people could get a hold of you. So, go deeper into it. So what is Freedom Coaching? And I guess this is as a result of writing the book Redeemed Vision. You said, well, I got to follow up on this. What is it that you do in Freedom Coaching?
Sure. So what we do, it's a four-stage process in working with clients, because most of the things out there, and again, this is not to deny the good work that people are doing trying to fight against pornography, but I think we come from it from a very different perspective. It's not simply about fighting against pornography, but it's about learning how to become inoculated. Okay, because we're designed for love, we're designed for beauty, we're designed to enter into bonds as the catechism states in paragraph 2332, we're called to form bonds of communion with others, right? These are our deepest longings and desires in our heart, right? But very few of us, especially growing up in the past 50 years, have ever received a real healthy, genuine education about our sexuality, about what it means to be a man and a woman, especially because so many of the marriages in which we grew up in, the families which we grew up in, have been basically fractured, you talked about dividing as we began our work here. We've been radically divided, and Satan has been cutting and dividing us here. And instead of learning how to really love one another, we've been programmed by so many of the different images, movies, television shows, the internet, those magazines in our checkout aisles, right? That it's simply about titillation. It's simply about trying to arouse our lust instead of entering the genuine relationship. So what we do in Freedom Coaching is there's a process here of restoring the intimacy, the identity, and the vision of the person so that we no longer desire to look with lust. Instead, we're impelled towards what is truly good and beautiful.
So that's basically the philosophy of Freedom Coaching that you just described, correct? And it seems to me
absolutely. And I would,
Go ahead.
Sorry about that. Well, I would add to it the deeper philosophy that we would add to this would be it's a philosophy of called hashtag Day Zero. And if you compare this to, and this is not to knock anyone who goes through like the AA program, right? They go in, hi, my name is Steve, and I'm an alcoholic. It's been 30 days since the last time I drank. Well, if somebody, there's a phrase we like to teach clients in Freedom Coaching, is the things you focus on, you give energy and life to. If I'm constantly focused on the last time that I slipped up, then that's my identity. I am an alcoholic, or in this term, I am a porn addict or whatever, right? And then my only hope here is I have to keep coming to these meetings. Well, that's not freedom at all. That's called coping. And right, God has called us to genuine freedom, to internal freedom, which comes through the power of Jesus Christ. And so the philosophy that we especially teach is that of hashtag Day Zero. That today is Day Zero, tomorrow is Day Zero, the next day is Day Zero. Why? Because redemption is real. God the Father sent Jesus Christ to die for us and die for us specifically.
Amen.
If we were the only ones on the planet, as you know, he would die only for us, right? And the reason, what happens here is most of the people I work with are lifelong Catholics, and they're church-going Catholics. They pray the rosary. They've been doing all the right things, but there's something blocking that intimacy with Jesus Christ of what is going to truly get them into the deepest desires of their heart so that the other things, such as pornography, don't interest them. And so here, as an encouragement, as to keep that focus for clients, that even if it's a tough day, it's day zero, and we can recreate because God is truly with me in this work.
Steve, you said something very important here. You said that when you focus on something like an AA, it gives life and what to it? That was a powerful statement that you made. In other words, it keeps perpetuating the problem. What did you say? Life and what?
So it's a life and energy. Right. Like, so take the issue. Like, let's convert it to another area. Right. If we're constantly right now is a really perfect example of all the social media, all the quote unquote regular media, the mainstream media that is perpetuating this environment of fear,
yes,
of helplessness and helplessness that we have to give over our power. That is the power that's rightly given to us by God to something else. Something else is going to provide for us. And so in the same area here, if
Steve,
you've been
thought,
programmed by
the thought, I hear the music.
Yep.
Jesus 911, we got Steve Picorni. We're talking about his new book, Redeemed Vision, and the fact that his apostolate, Freedom Coaching, for people struggling with addiction to porn. We'll be right back.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family.
Baby move in your tummy?
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before, at conception.
That's right, every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol, my name is Jesse Romero. We got a two-man car. This is Jess and Steve Picorno, and we're out there giving you some Catholic briefings, some Catholic intel so you could put into your war bag, hit the streets, go out and evangelize, get holy or die trying. Steve just wrote a book called Redeemed Vision. And he's scratching society where they itch. This is a huge problem in our culture. And I'm glad that Steve and others out there, they feel called by the Lord to go out there and slay this dragon to the best of their ability. You know, Steve, pornography is the cancer of our times, and the only antidote is God's grace to deliver you from this, because there's a demonic component to this, without a doubt, because it's the devil. Father Gabriel Amor, a Roman exorcist, just passed away. He says, the devil wants to get you to misuse your body, and that's precisely what happens when somebody's caught up in this lifestyle. Steve, you're very passionate about this topic. You could just tell. Just like I'm passionate about evangelization, you could just tell as soon as I ask you a question, man. You're just popping here.
Thanks, Jesse.
Again, I think you're so passionate because, again, you feel like, okay, God has liberated me and set me free and healed me, and I want others to experience it. I think that's where you're coming from. But why is pornography so destructive for our physical, mental, social, and spiritual health? Give us the data.
Sure. So let's start with mental, right? Mental, there's the same chemicals that are stored up in the brain during healthy marital intercourse and healthy marital intimacy are the same chemicals that happen during the using of pornography. And we could spend a whole lot of time on this. And I want to zero in on one of those chemicals, that chemical of dopamine. Dopamine is the pleasure chemical. It's the same chemical. And Jesse, you know this with working in law enforcement for many years with cocaine and how it just wrecks everything in its path. Same kind of thing. We have a lot of dope heads with those who use pornography. And what it does, it creates pleasure, but then the pleasure is not enough. So we need more and more and more. This is especially where we see, why are we seeing the rampant use of pornography and child pornography and sex trafficking going on? It's directly connected. And I encourage everyone out there who's listening to this, check out Operation Toussaint on Amazon Prime about the work that Operation Underground Railroad is talking about. And Tim Ballard, who's the founder of that, says every single man he's encountered who's been involved with sex trafficking has been connected to this issue. And certainly not everybody who uses pornography is going to get into sex trafficking by any means, but it is messing with our heads. One other chemical that to focus on is a protein actually called delta-fos-B. And what it does, it takes, if you would take a memory and connect it with an emotion, it can be burned into our brain and stay with us forever. So this protein goes on our head and we get stressed, right? I like to use the analogy of blasted. We get bored, lonely, hungry, angry, stressed, tired, turned on, emotional, and depressed. That's a mouthful, I know. But we get those here. And if our programming has been to deal with those, we enter into pornography and masturbation. And what happens is our brain burns it in. It burns into our brain. And then we're told, basically, let's remember this. This felt good. Let's remember it. Let's do it again and again. Well, remember, this stuff doesn't satisfy. And so we need more and more in here, more and more here. So with that mental thing, one of the biggest lies, Jesse, as you know, what I do in my bedroom doesn't affect anyone else. That's one of the biggest lies we've been programming. Why? Because we leave the bedroom. We go out into the world, right? And so our marriages get affected by this. I just this week, 3 days ago, an inquiry came in. I've been married 9 years. This is destroying my marriage. I am willing to do what it needs to be done to get done. Right. And those are the kind of little glimpses I see of the brokenness all the time. You'll see with boys, they're being programmed that young ladies are not ladies at all, but they're merely objects to be taken advantage of. And this is especially where you get into the violence, the marital act created by God, which is beautiful, supposed to reveal his love to the world, instead has been moved to mere entertainment, and people get treated as objects. The women in this. Women, young women, older women are being told my value is mere sex appeal. As long as I have that it factor, then we have that. Take the, for instance, the pornification of the Super Bowl halftime show last year, right? With Jennifer Lopez, right? Jennifer in herself is a good woman, but she is revealing not her full truth, but less of herself. And then you get into the issue of just divorce. This is a study in 2003 of divorce lawyers. 56% of the cases they worked on said pornography was a major contributing factor. Well, Jesse, the iPhone came out in 2007, 4 years after that study came out. And we all know these cell phones are everywhere. So within that whole thing, right, these things are in our bedrooms, are all over the place. I mean, I've had clients who are, while their wives are sleeping, they're using their cell phones in their bedroom, right? What does that do to intimacy? And then in the wake of this, right, one of the major causes of the reason of divorce is infidelity. What's left behind? It's children. So we have this radical fracturing that's coming in here. So many people are walking around with this guilt, the shame, the self-hatred, and they don't know what to do about it. And it's heartbreaking.
Powerful stuff, Steve. You got all the data. Steve, we're just coming out of a quarantine in many places. They're still in Arizona. It's not that bad. We've probably been out of it for about a month and a half. Some people, some states are still quarantining or semi-quarantining. Social distancing is still being promoted around the country as a result of the Wuhan virus. I've read that the rates of pornography use skyrocketed as a result of this quarantine. Is that true? What do you think about this?
No, it's 100% true. I mean, what one study LifeSite News put out said in this is just the Philippines alone, child pornography manufacturing and use went up 264% throughout this quarantine. Okay, that's just the Philippines, and we know for a fact the U.S. is the number one producer of child pornography. Well, where does that come from? It comes from quote unquote regular pornography, right? You have this massive increase. Why? We've all been isolated in our environments, right? And pretty soon, right? Regular movies or whatever we're doing doesn't interest us. We'll get more into this. And the fact that you've got the major players, you have Netflix, you have Amazon, are pushing pornified content into our homes. And if we've never been trained about the truth about the body, a truth of our identity, and truth of how to see the body correctly, then we're going to fall for the counterfeits. And that's what we're seeing, especially now.
Steve, this is a big question, especially as regards to Catholicism or any person of faith, because I know there's a demonic component to it without a doubt, because this is, falls into one of the seven deadly sins, you know, have lust, one of the seven deadly sins. So how does pornography use tie into spiritual warfare, especially regarding the diabolical? Is when you were addicted to it, did you ever sense the diabolical? Did you ever see shadow people or feel the presence of evil? How is this connected to the diabolical?
So let's start basic premise, right? There's a God and there's an enemy of God. This enemy of God hates anything that smacks of God. Anything that has anything to do with God wants to get rid of it, wants to destroy it and remove it. And this is why the evil one wants us in hell. It's our bodies, especially because of the incarnation, we are made in this image of God. So it's obviously our intellect and will that allow us to be like God, but especially the fact that we're created male and female, and the fact that the two halves of humanity, especially through marriage and family life, is supposed to reveal God's life and love. That's what's supposed to happen here. Yeah. And so he'll do anything to get in the midst of that. And so the heart of that union is this great intimate act, which is beautiful. So if he can get in there with counterfeits, because we've been programmed, our education, the first sexual education most people are getting, kids are getting now, is not from their parents, but from their kindergarten public classroom that's teaching a bunch of garbage. And especially to get on their cell phones or not, maybe not theirs, maybe we're trying to be careful with it, but their friends who their parents give cell phones to is out here. So he's out and he's lurking like St. Peter teaches, right? Your opponent, the devil, is prowling here, right? And so for too long, right, we've been going on the defense. We have to go on the offense. Now, to answer the one point you brought about, by the grace of God, I mean, one of the things I did notice for about 2 years of my life, I had a kind of a filter over my eyes. It was very, very dark. There was some in my healing process, I know that filter left me. One client that I've worked with in the past, his road down that started with pornography, getting into chat rooms, getting through Craigslist listing, gave him over himself directly over to Satan, gave himself over to the diabolic there. And what that did nearly destroyed his marriage. By the grace of God, he's got an amazing praying wife. And through his healing, that light has been lifted here. I think there's still maybe some work that still needs to be done there, but we're seeing huge things happening. And I've been a part of seeing some of that healing to occur.
You know, it's very interesting that you what you just said about the, like something came out of your eyes. St. Paul uses the term. Mm-hmm. He says that scales came out of his eyes when he encountered the blazing glory of the risen Christ, and that's what a lot of people describe when God breaks an addiction and starts healing them. They say something like, I could see clearly now where I couldn't see before. I didn't have moral or intellectual clarity. And on a spiritual warfare side of it, this one exorcist I'm friends with, he says that one of the things that is powerful, you probably have heard this since you've done all the research, but he says meditative prayer is very powerful. And again, because meditative prayer, it helps you start taking custody of your intellect, because a lot of times your intellect, you know, it's been fractured. The diabolical, that's what they do. They try to fracture your thoughts, fracture the intellect. And so entering into, once again, into a strong monastic prayer life, you know, morning, midday, and evening. And this one exorcist told me, just especially what I recommend is a slow meditation every day on the sorrowful mysteries. Why the sorrowful mysteries? Think about the movie, The Passion of the Christ, okay? Mel Gibson's movie. He says, if there's one thing that the demon fears is when the human person is meditating, not on Buddha or Om or something, meditating on the Passion of Christ, his five bloody wounds, because that's what heals us. The blood of Jesus heals us, sets us free, and brings us back to God the Father. And so, is the prayer component that you put the guys on, is that part of the healing process to restore their intellect that's been fractured?
Absolutely, 100%, right? Grace is the number one rule of freedom coaching is this is a work of grace. So if you remember what we started the interview with, right, what we focus on, we give energy and life to. And it's been said what people want is fantasy. What they need is reality. Pain is the number one thing. It's like that, as C.S. Lewis says, the pain is a megaphone that God uses to scream into our lives, to paraphrase that, right? And so it's the wounds of Christ that meditating is very important. One of the areas that especially a lot of, again, we focus primarily on Catholics with this work is they've not gotten to the intimacy of Jesus Christ. And so what two simple prayers that we'll teach them is, Lord Jesus,
hold that thought. I want to hear. Hold that thought, Steve. We'll be right back. Steve McCourney, author of Redeemed Vision. We're going to be talking about how to slay this dragon, the dragon of lust and pornography. Don't change that dial. Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need Covenant Eye to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to CovenantEyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. www.CovenantEyes.com, code VMPR. Live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
Healthcare news today seems to be coming from everywhere and everyone. It's confusing, at least, and untrustworthy at the worst. Dr. Aceta is a faithful Catholic in the Kern County community. He is trustworthy, well-researched, and will only give expert opinion on matters in his own specialty. Catholic teaching at its entirety is of utmost importance to Dr. Aceta. Give Dr. Aceta a call for your obstetrics and gynecological needs at 661-695-6617.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, the reason we call this program Jesus 911 is because we all need his help. And it's in other words, we're saying, Jesus, help! That's what we're saying. And we know somebody who's always calling upon the Lord Jesus Christ, especially as he ministers to other men in Freedom Coaching. Steve Pokorna, he's the founder of Freedom Coaching. God has put in his heart, as a result of him being caught up in this web of sin himself, God has put him in the path to try to help other men. And this is a huge, huge endeavor. I mean, you got nothing but my respect, Steve, because this is the Goliath of our time. Steve's written a book, Redeemed Vision. Steve, how can people get your book, and what is your website?
Sure. Your website is freedom-coaching. That's correct, sir. So it's freedom-coaching.net on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter is Redeemed Vision. The book you can look on the website for. It's also found on Amazon. Again, it's called Redeemed Vision, Setting the Blind Free from the Pornified Culture.
Steve, two questions I want to ask you. I mean, you have no idea the way my mind just opened up when you just said a while back ago. Then I want you to get into the prayers, the spiritual aspect. But when you said, when you focus on something negative, you give it life and energy. That statement is absolutely true. I've seen it all my life. I mean, for example, you know, the media right now, not to get off on a tangent, they just keep running this thing, racism, racism, police are bad. And so what do you see? You see these riots all over the country. They're giving life to something and energy. Why? Because that's all they're focusing on. Is that something that you just basically learned in the field experience, or is there something clinical behind that statement?
Sure. I mean, I think it's both. Again, I don't have the numbers in front of me to back this up, but again, there's a deep truth here, right? That we were created for truth, goodness, and beauty. That's what was supposed to be presented to us. That's what we're supposed to bring about in our life, right? But God always, with our free will, and this free will is a great gift, always gives us a choice of, shall we say, what we're going to focus on. And it connects with virtue and vice, Jesse, right? Virtue is that habit that is a good action that's become a habit, habitus from the Latin, right? That this is a part of who we are, right? And the more that we do virtuous actions, the more that we're focusing on what is truly good here, then it's going to be easier to pursue those. The reverse is obviously true here, right? That the more that we focus on the negative, the more that becomes a part of us, then we're going to pursue bad actions, and it's going to be very difficult to do the good. And this all has to do with the old nursery rhyme, right? Be careful, little eyes, what you watch. Be careful, little ears, what you hear, right? Most moms, a lot of moms have taught their kids this. And we've forgotten this rule because we are just, there's no filter over the amount of media that we're taking in. Most of us are on our phone all the time, Facebook, Instagram, we're on Drudge or CNN or whatever. And so many of these aspects are simply cultivating a culture of fear, a culture in which we're not seeing each other as beloved brothers and sisters in the Lord. We're not seeing each other as made in the image and likeness of God. Like, take this issue of racism that's going on. Yes, racism does exist. Yes, there are a very small amount of people who hate people for the color of their skin.
Agreed. But
and horrible actions have been done in the name of this. But the response, the appropriate response, isn't to burn down people's buildings, to burn down their small businesses, to desecrate churches. The answer here is, first, do I see myself as lovable, as loved by God, and then to take that to other people, to see them in here, even if they've done wrong, right? Yes, justice is needed, but justice is not vengeance. Justice is a right evening out of making right in the sight of what God is calling us to.
That's absolutely. You're talking about some prayers that you recommend to people, to guys that you coach, that come to you in your apostolate. And before the break, can you continue that thought about the prayer protocol that you maybe put guys on?
Absolutely. And it sounds like all the good stuff we're about to talk, the really great stuff, gets cut off by a break. So here we go. So first one I would say is, as we're getting to intimacy with the Lord, and because that's one of the main components that so many Catholics are missing in their intimacy. We do all the right things, but if we don't get to the heart of this, we're like a Pharisee or Sadducee. We've got to get to the heart, which is the heart, the bleeding sacred heart of Jesus Christ, and it's love. So the first prayer I would say is, Lord Jesus, fill me with your love. We're meant to be filled up, or if we're men, think of a beer stein, right? We're meant to be filled up by this love and overflowing. Second prayer, Lord Jesus, reveal to me who I am to give this love with, to share this love with today, right? There's something called the law of the gift, Jesse, that to the degree that we make a gift of ourselves is the degree that we will find fulfillment, joy, and peace. Right. And it is more real than gravity. And so we have to be filled up by love to give this love. And the more that we do connecting with virtue, we want to do more of that. And then last prayer. And again, there's more prayers we'll teach. But one of the big ones is with spiritual warfare, especially. And this is not to say we pray this issue away. There's deep interior work that has to be done. But we also want to be very real that the evil one hates us. And so we want to protect. So one of the prayers we'll teach is, in the name of Jesus Christ, I renounce this image, this lie. I cover this in the blood of Jesus Christ. I send this to the foot of the cross. I cast to hell in Jesus' name. I ask you, Jesus, to replace this with what is true, good, and beautiful. And he
does.
That's
a powerful prayer. Very powerful. And by the way, that's called in spiritual warfare an imprecatory prayer. And every Catholic, the church allows you to do imprecatory prayers for yourself. That's called self-deliverance. You have the authority, because you are you. You have the authority to command evil spirits and cast them out from your body. That's Catholic teaching. That's called an imprecatory prayer. And I'm glad you're teaching that, Steve, because this is something that hasn't been taught in the church in such a long time. And now people are starting to tap into this and realize, hey, I can do self-deliverance, self-exorcism prayers because I am me. My body is me. And my body's a temple of the Holy Spirit. I'm glad you're up on that. I'll tell you something that shocked me years ago. It didn't surprise me, but and I'm not saying that people, that anybody who's involved in pornography is going to become a monster, but I watched the interview with Ted Bundy as he was confessing his sins to Dr. James Dobson. It's on the internet. You can watch it right before his execution in 1989. And Ted Bundy says something chilling. He says, there's a lot of Ted Bundys out there like me. This is the night before he got executed. He goes, there's a lot of people like me. And he says, all of this started, this whole distortion of the inability to look at women properly, he says, was started very early when I started watching pornography from magazines. Can you imagine right now? I mean, this was back in 1989. It's a lot easier now to watch pornography. And Ted Bundy says something chilling the night before he was executed. He said, there's a lot of Ted Bundys out there. Now, I'm not saying that everybody's going to be a Ted Bundy, but I'm just saying that, I mean, that's the theology of sin. It starts off small. And if you don't check it, you know, by repentance, contrition, metanoia, change of life, it can be a train wreck and destroy your life. Another question I want to ask you is, what's the first step a person can take in addressing a compulsion to pornography? First step.
Let me work backwards on those, because the point I want to address that whole the connection between sex and violence, right? But first thing I would say is acknowledge you got a problem with it, right? Bringing this to the table is healing here. Then second is, right, if it's ultimately selfishness that is at the root of any sin, and especially with sexual sin, it's gratitude that's the answer. So one of the first homeworks, it is the first homework that I give to every client, is make a list of 100 items that you're grateful for, that you're truly grateful for. Say them out loud for the next month. Focusing on those, you'll see an opening to something good, true, and beautiful. Those would be the first two steps that I would give here. But connected here, right? You've had wars in history, right? The Trojan War was fought over Helen of Troy with lust there, right? Many guys gave up their lives because of lust, right? And in this, right, you have this facilitation going back to the brain chemicals that we need more and more and more here, right? There is some semblance in these images of pornography, which, by the way, from what Ted Bundy saw to today, are worlds apart in a sense, because some of the stuff was simply centerfolds that were there. Now you have the violence against women. This has been normalized. Again, as we were saying, this is a sexual education that our children are receiving. Okay, this is the education about the body that they're given, which is a counterfeit. And so if there's a desire for love there, one of our deepest desires is to love and be loved, two of them. And if that's not reciprocated, because what we do in our private time doesn't stay in our private time, we want to go and approach a young lady. We don't know how to see her. We're not being trained as men how to speak with her. Then what happens is, for some people, this becomes aggressive. Think about the rape culture in some places on college campuses. Where does that come from? None of these kids, when they're growing up, think, you know, when I grow up, when I go to college, I want to rape women. Nobody does that, right? There's a false formation that's happened here, and it's hijacked their brains.
Wow. Steve, what would you say to a person who's struggling with pornography to self-medicate? Do you recommend confession, regular mass attendance, rosary, accountability software? What are some of the things that you recommend, that the protocol that you give men?
Sure. So all of those things, Jesse, that you just mentioned, right, they're all good in themselves. And I would say to anyone hearing this, that if those things are working to actually solve the problem, don't stop. Keep going, right? We need grace. Grace is 100%. I'm a Byzantine Catholic. This is very, very important here. So within this, though, is the reality for so many people. And I just got this request 2 days ago. I've done all these things. What else can I do? And so what we need is a change of tactics and strategies. That's not a matter of mere coping mechanisms, which we start there, perhaps. We might use a little bit of them in freedom coaching. What we have to do, again, is get back to identity work, get into this deep, deep heart prayer to know that we are loved by God. There's some other elements of getting into identity work in which we focus on our true identity of who we are in a son of God, right? A son or daughter of God, if I'm working with a woman, right? And then the third piece, though, is the beauty of the body. We have to learn how to see the body correctly as God has been taught, right? Most of us who have been exposed to pornography, the body is merely...
Steve, hold that thought. Hold that thought. Stick around. Don't turn that dial. You don't want to miss what's up next. Jesus 911. We got Steve Picorno, Freedom Coaching. We'll be right back.
Help the Helpless, a Minnesota St. Paul nonprofit organization chaired by Father of Tier and volunteers, is humbly asking you for your kind support
to wall to wall with defending, explaining, sharing the faith. Master apologist Carlo Broussard. Carlo, welcome to Hands-On Apologetics.
Hey Gary, it's great to be back in the dojo, my friend.
Master apologist Ken Hensley, welcome to Hands-On Apologetics.
Good to see you again, Gary. Good to be with you.
Michael Barber, welcome. You have entered into the Virgin Most Powerful's Apologetics Dojo.
Gary, thanks for having me on.
We are chatting with Master Apologist Carl Keating.
Gary, it's great to be back with you.
Coming into the dojo is our good friend Steve Ray.
Thank you, Gary. Good to be here.
Tim Staples, welcome to Hands-On Apologetics.
Hey, it's great to be with you, Gary. Thanks for having me on.
Join many others in Gary Machuda's Apologetics Dojo.
We have some of the best Catholic apologists in the nation.
Streaming live weekdays from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific. Hands-On Apologetics on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up on the next Empowered by the Spirit with Deacon Steve Greco.
This show is one of the most important shows that we've done because it's a focus on the current pandemic, COVID-19. Bishop David is filled with the Holy Spirit, someone who is right in tune with what we need to do to grow spiritually. And I'm so excited to put it on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. This is a show that will give us encouragement and will give us hope.
Catch Empowered by the Spirit Fridays after the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jess Romero on Jesus 911 with Steve Picorno, Freedom Coaching. Steve has written a book. It's called Redeemed Vision. Steve, where can people get your book, and how can people get in contact with you if they need some additional spiritual direction?
Sure. So I direct them to freedom-coaching.net. The book is, you can find it right there. It's also on Amazon. If you want an autographed copy, you can also just shoot me an email and we can do that as well.
Steve, I'm glad to see there's more and more Catholic men. I'm sure Protestants as well. I don't follow up on the Protestant, ministries out there, but there's a lot of Catholic men like yourself that have jumped into this battle, and they realize that this is exactly where the devil's taking a lot of men down. And I'm glad to see that you just, you felt called to be one of those Spartans and help Catholic men say, come on, guys. One of the things about the Spartans, they pride themselves in watching the back of their other man, their fellow Spartan. And that's what you're doing. You're watching men's back. And I commend you for that. But what makes Freedom Coaching different from all other methods in overcoming porn compulsion? I guess we can compare what you do to the secular methods, or maybe even other Catholic methods. Yes. I'm not sure.
So let's take it from a couple, as I mentioned before the break there, right? Most of the time we're talking about coping mechanisms. And for a vast majority of the clients that I've dealt with, it's coping mechanisms don't get to the heart. They don't actually transform our hearts, our minds, and our visions. Those are the three that are needed. As I mentioned before the break, it's intimacy, it's identity, and vision that's needed. And so this vision piece especially is the key thing. Whereas if our education about sexuality, about the body, has been through pornography, then we need to unleash what has been with the church for many, many, many years, many centuries, has been sacred art, especially sacred art where the body is exposed appropriately. Think of the Sistine Chapel. Think of the masters of art that have exposed it appropriately, right? And with all deference to the venerable Fulton Sheen, right, the Cape Crusader of Catholicism, as I like to say, talks about nudity, pornography, nudity, violence, and sex are three major inhibitors. I would argue that pornography is not really showing nudity. It's showing lust. It's not revealing the truth about the body. And again, the things we focus on, again, give energy and life to. So if we're focused on the truth about the body, the truth about seeing the body appropriately through the lens which the church teaches, and studying what genuine beauty is, it is beauty is that is the true antidote to this. And if we're soaking in this, Jesse, and this is hope for those who have been trapped forever, the scales fall from our eyes and we don't desire to look with lust. We desire something way more fulfilling. And if anyone is presented to us, any image or in reality is presented to us in a lustful way, we're not moved to lust, but we're moved to this sadness and this desire, want to pray and sacrifice for them. And I see it happen in myself and so many of my clients. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Steve, there's I'm going to put flesh to what you just said. I worked with this one cop, fallen away Catholic, and great street cop, very respected narcotics officer, just had he had everything going for him. And I remember he had his locker next to me, and he would always tell me when we'd go on duty, he'd say, hey, Jess, and it was back then, it was VHS tapes and getting into video. They're starting to move into videos. And he had a locker, his police locker, full of porn movies. And other guys would come and they'd say, hey, what do you got this week? You know, so he'd be passing them around inside the locker room. And I'd look at him and I'd call him to account. I'd say, hey, dude, when are you going to come back to Mass? You're Catholic, right? Yeah, I'm Catholic. And I would always just needle him. And he'd kind of be embarrassed when he'd open up his locker next to me and stuff, because I always needle him about, hey, dude, you're a Catholic, man. That's not what we're all about. And I remember one day he told me, he says, Jess, it'll enhance your marriage. And I said, I told him, dude, it's going to destroy your marriage. Well, what happened? I ended up going to another unit of assignment. I hadn't seen him for 5 years. Somebody called me up. Some of the other cops called me up and said, hey, Jess, Bobby's getting a divorce. His wife is leaving him and stuff. So I reached out to him. I had his number. I called him up, and he was on the phone crying. He was at home, and he told me. He goes, he was slurring. I said, Bobby, are you drinking? He goes, I never knew him to drink. He never drank alcohol at all. He was drunk and sitting in the sofa when I called him. He had a gun in his mouth, and he says, Jess, why'd you call? I said, somebody told me to call you up. He says, you know, my wife left me. He says, remember what you told me 5 years ago? I said, yeah. He goes, you were right. Pornography destroyed my marriage. And he says, and I've got a gun in my mouth right now. I was about to pull the trigger till you called up. And all of a sudden, I have hope. And so, I mean, you could probably tell us about all kinds of testimonies about people that have been in a very dark spot in their life. But even Catholic marriages are being affected by this. Tell us a little bit about how men and women and marriages and families can be truly Catholic in today's culture that pushes pornography so hard on us.
Sure. So first thing first, if there's pornography in the house, if you know this is going on, get rid of it. Do whatever you have to take to get rid of it. So obviously, if Freedom Coaching is your answer, come to Freedom Coaching. If you find another answer, do that. Second is, we've got to put the first thing, as Stephen Covey would say, right? Make the first thing as the first thing as the first thing, right? Our marriages and our families must come first. So two things for marriage, right? Number one, never stop dating. Just make sure you only date one person, your spouse. So date night every week, right? Which has been so hard. You talk about my own marriage during this whole COVID thing. That's one thing I'm looking forward to, is opening things up, finding a babysitter. Second is those at least 15 minutes of deep, intimate sharing every day. So many couples, especially because we're on smartphones or things like that, just work or life gets in the way. You didn't get married for the house, the car, the kids. You got married for each other, that God is going to grow this together so that you can make a gift of self together. So you've got to penetrate into genuine intimacy. Third is, have those technology-free zones. The family that prays together stays together, right? So, and the family that eats together stays together. At dinner time, at mealtime, no technology. And then also, especially if Our Lady has called us especially to pray the rosary, bring that in there daily, right? There are so many forces that are trying to attack our family. We have to go and bring this, bring together here. And then I'll give you a bonus fifth is, get, you know, beauty into your family.
Yeah. Steve, a lot of guys think that, no, pornography's for tough guys. Come on, dude. You're not a real man. You know, they think that, hey, Tarzan, you know, they pound their chest. Real men watch pornography. Real men are into this gentleman's club. Actually, St. Thomas Aquinas would disagree, the angelic doctor. He actually says something to the contrary. What does St. Thomas say about people that are immersed in this using of women and attachment to pleasure and lust and stuff, and just are guided by their disordered passions and emotions?
Yeah. So, and what, to lay aside the good angelic doctor, we'd say that pornography actually emasculates a man. It steals his ability to truly love. It steals the ability to really appreciate the beauty of a woman and to sacrifice for her, right? And so we're finding here that in marriage, right, so many men go into marriage with this hope. Usually it's not about that this woman's going to serve me, but that I can do something great here. But we settle. Difficulties come in, and then we use things to try, like alcohol, like drugs. And the drug of the new millennium is pornography. And so the key here, we've got to return back to a genuine meaning of what it means to be masculine. Study Jesus Christ. Fall in love with Jesus Christ. That's what it first means to be a man. Second, and then also from here, I would steal from the One of the guys that I'd like to study is John Maxwell. Okay. He says one of his great statements is everything worthwhile is uphill. Life is going to be hard, guys. It's supposed to be. It's supposed to be arduous because it's training us in virtue so that we do the little acts of service. We do the laundry. We cook the meals. We change the diapers. We're present to our wife so that when, God forbid, say somebody's attacking our house, with a gun, we can respond appropriately, but somebody is attacking right now, and it's through this invisible enemy of pornography. So we've got to be vigilant, and we have to learn how to become inoculated.
That's a good point, Steve, about, life is difficult, and it's funny. I mean, there's even two secular songs. It kind of highlights this. There's a song back in the 70s called Stairway to Heaven. Well, stairs are kind of hard, okay? To climb up a stair, it's not that easy. In fact, I know people... You know, when I was in my younger days, I used to work out and run up and down stairs, you know, in these high-rise buildings when I used to train for boxing and kickboxing, stair work, bleachers. That's hard work. And there's another secular song that it says called Highway to Hell. Well, how easy is it to put your pedal to the metal and just go down the highway when there's no traffic? That's easy. So those songs really highlight what you just said. To get to heaven, virtue, it takes work. Arduous work, as St. Thomas Aquinas would say, and to go to hell, it's a slippery slope. It's easy. Anybody can get there. Steve, tell us the name of your book. How can people get it? Your website, how can people get in contact with you? And give us any parting words. You got 1 minute. Go.
Amen. The website's freedom-coaching.net. I'm Steve Picorni, and also the book is found on Amazon or on my website. And I would just encourage those who have been trapped in this, those that you know it's eating away at you, it's eating away at your marriage, get help here. Learn to develop your true identity, your vision, and here you will find genuine freedom.
Outstanding. And by the way, is your state closed down? Are you... If anybody wants to invite you to go speak out there, how do they get you for a speaking engagement?
Well, I'm in the great state of Texas, but also I know that obviously social media works, so we're doing that. I'm setting up actually a talk next month in Ireland, so a while from the comfort of my home, so it does work.
Awesome. Good job. So people can get a hold of you through your website if they want to do some virtual conferences with you, or if they want to invite you to their parish when things open up a bit, right? Steve,
absolutely,
one last question.
Jesse.
Would you say that... Sister Lucia used a term back in the 70s in a letter she wrote that society has entered into this diabolical disorientation and that the final attack of the devil would be against marriage and the family. Would you say that pornography is part of the attack that Sister Lucia spoke about prophetically?
100%. And this is why whatever we have to do to safeguard our marriages and families, do that. So crucial, because from the marriage and family, we will see the beauty of the kingdom of God come forth.
Awesome. Steve Picorni, we'll have to do this again. Steve Picorni, Freedom Coaching. Remember, his book is called Redeemed Vision. Check out that book and go to his website. The website is, once again, Steve? The website?
Freedom-coaching.net. And thank you so much, Jesse.
You got it. We'll have to do this again. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, my name is Jesse Romero. That's a wrap. Remember St. Padre Pio's words. Pray, hope, and don't worry. Worry is useless. God is merciful, and God will hear your prayer. And make sure, America, that we wake up, evangelize. Don't hit the snooze button. Okay? Global warming alert. Jesus is coming back soon. Are you ready? And make sure that before you die, you leave it all in the field. Stick around. Up next, Gary Machuda, Hands-On Apologetics from the Midwest Command Center in the dojo with the big guy, Gary Machuda, Hands-On Apologetics. See you next Christ time. God bless you. Keep the faith.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. Oh my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great high priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.